This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
This is the Leadership Forum.
Consider if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
Welcome back. You are at Hope FM Listen and Live. My name is Grace Mutiso. You are on Praise Junction, and the session today is the Leadership Forum. I'm hosting Reverend Dr. David Oginde, and you know, today focusing on leaders around the cross. Allow us to go straight. Bishop, welcome back.
Thank you.
So who are we focusing on today?
Today, I thought we would look at three people, but now that we have only half the time, we talked about the corruption corrupted our time.
So it's important.
So we will look at, I'd intended us to look at three people, Peter, James, and John, and just their perspective to leadership, their kind of character, and how that would apply in a leadership environment. Mm-hmm. Let me start with James and John. These were brothers. James and John were brothers, known as sons of Zebedee. Their father was Zebedee. And from the little that we are told, there's not too much about James. Mm-hmm. There's a reasonable bit about John.
Yes.
And John is a very, comes out like a very affectionate person, you know. He always around the leader, trying to be very close. Mm. He even writes and say he's the one who sat close to Jesus. They even ate together. Mm. He lay on his bosom.
Yes.
You know, that's John. He describes himself that way. So he looks like a person who really loved attention. These people who want to be close, want to be identified with the leader, wherever they are, love good things, you know, positive remarks and positive attention. And you'll find those kinds of people in your team. Mm. You know, they are always close to you. They want to be your right hand man, as it were. Mm. They where you sit, they want to sit.
Yeah, and they want to be what I hear being called. They want to be in the kitchen cabinet of a leader.
They want to be part of the deep state.
Oh, okay.
It used to be called kitchen cabinet. Yes, this is right. Called deep state.
That has hit home.
Mm. Yeah, it's the current language.
Mm.
So John is that.
Yeah.
He's not the kind that will be working on the periphery.
Mm-mm.
He's not the kind of person who is happy. You give him his work and he's happy to go and do it without bothering what else is going on.
Yeah.
He wants to be the inner core. He wants to be in the, if there's a committee where the chair is, he wants to be there.
Yeah, no, seated next.
Seated next, you know. He's the kind who says, today we were with so-and-so. You know, we went visiting here and there. That's John.
And he takes selfies.
Yeah, with the king, with the leader. And he will bring it back. And he has no problem telling you that I did this.
Yeah.
Read the gospel according to John. And he talks about himself. You know, the disciple that Jesus loved.
Yeah.
That's how how do you write that? Even if it is true.
It's like blowing your own trumpet.
Rampant.
Yeah.
You know, this is the disciple that Jesus loved. So John is that kind of a person. Very affectionate, which is not bad. Loves to be very close to the leader. And his brother James is not so much that way, but doesn't mind being in the inner circle for them to be together. I don't know between James and John who was leading the other.
Mm.
But they seemed to have that kind of experience. So the you find that when now Jesus talks about going to Jerusalem, when he was actually saying he's going to Jerusalem and he's not coming back. Now, I imagine that what John and James are hearing is that I'm going to set up my kingdom.
Yes.
We have been operating on this startup, but now we are going to build a headquarters
mm-hmm.
in Jerusalem.
Yes.
You know?
Mm.
So in their thinking, now structures and systems are being put in place for this movement. There's going to be the CEO, there are going to be deputies, and so on and so forth. So if we are not careful, we may find ourselves on the periphery.
Yes.
So we better secure our place early.
Mm.
So we find them, therefore, in Mark chapter 10, coming to Jesus. And the Bible says that they came and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." I find it a very childlike kind of question. You know, the way a child comes to you and say, "Mommy, will you give me what I ask?"
Mm-hmm.
So you are supposed to answer before you know what it is. And that's what James and John come to Jesus and say, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask."
Yes.
So, but Jesus was not going to be tricked into that. So he asked them, what is it that you want me to do for you? And they say, "We want one of us to sit on your right and the other one to sit on your left." So they have no difficulty asking for these privileged positions for two brothers in the team. And they really were of that mind that you secure your space. In leadership and management, we say strategic positioning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you position yourself strategically.
Yes.
So that as things happen, you are in the right place.
Mm.
You have thought ahead. Again, like Judas, on the positive side, they think ahead.
Yes.
They are strategic.
Mm.
Again, not too aggressive, but very strategic. They know how to deal with things. It appears from the record that we are given that they were talking to Jesus when the others were not there.
They waited for a right
moment. For the right moment
mm.
so that they can bring their request to Jesus when the other people were not there. Because the Bible says that the others heard about it later.
Later.
Yeah. They just heard about it later.
Mm.
Again, very strategic people. You make an appointment with the CEO. There's something I would like to come and discuss with you. And you are given an appointment and you come. And the thing you're talking about is not how to make your work better or how to move the organization forward or how the things that you are thinking for the work that we are doing. It is about yourself. You want a promotion.
Mm.
You want a bonus. You want, you heard of new branches being opened and you think it's very strategic.
Yes.
You say, in case you need somebody,
I'm
available.
And ready.
I'm ready.
Yes.
And put your credential there and say, this I would be very privileged and honored to take up this, to be your PA. To travel with you to London.
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is a kind of person. So I see James and John, their perspective to the organization is very personal. What can I get? They see leadership from a positional point of view. And that is what is driving them. And I think I said it last week, maybe I didn't, that how we view leadership is how we practice leadership.
Mm.
So for James and John, leadership is about positions.
Yes.
And the faster you can secure a position, the better for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll find these people who, they join an organization, And they are telling you, within the next 2 years, I want to be this, you know, because their mind, their focus, I want to be the head of department within the next 1 year or next 2 years. Mm-hmm. I want to be the CEO in the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. You know, they come with positions in mind. So their thinking of growth and development is about positions.
And do they have like a structure of how to, or they're just focused on, I just want that seat?
They will work on it. James and John, if you now read the Gospels, not just the book of Mark, you find that this was discussed at home. Because their mother also comes to say the same thing, to ask Jesus the same thing. So it was not an ad hoc thing. It didn't just happen on the spur of the moment. They sat at home with their mother and discussed. Jesus has said he's going to Jerusalem. This is what we think is likely to be happening. How do we position ourselves in this situation? And they must have agreed, you go and ask, I will also come and put in a word. So these people normally, they plan. So even their work output is geared towards that. If it is that we want to impress the leader, the CEO, our supervisor, I will do whatever it is to impress him, so that by the time I'm coming to ask him to give me that position, he can see, you've done well.
It's almost automatic.
It's almost automatic. Yeah. This John was leaning on the bosom of Jesus. So who else can sit on the left and the right other than him?
Sure.
So they work towards it. So while you are doing just doing your work for the organization, for the meeting of the mission and vision of the organization, there are people who are doing their work with a very clear agenda, and they will get it if you are not careful. Yeah.
Interesting.
So it doesn't just happen. So people who are given to positional leadership will work with that in mind.
Yes.
So almost everything they do is, how do I get to be the supervisor of this department? And sometimes they play politics.
How would that look like?
It looks like what we have just seen. Yeah, sometimes it looks like what we have just seen. Wait when people are not there and go and cut your deal. Because the Bible says, when the others heard about it, they were indignant. They were so angry. That doesn't sound like something that was well appreciated. Because these people felt that you have gone behind our back. You know?
Undercutting kind
of thing. Undercutting, yes. So that's politics. Politics is undercutting. I see Grace is likely to be getting this post. So I see, what can I do to make sure she doesn't get it, but I do? So I'll start doing certain things with the leadership or with my work, such that by the time the opportunity arises, I am the natural person. And Grace thought, this was my job.
Just past katikati yangu. Yeah,
ukiona. So organizational politics comes in that way.
Okay.
People who endear themselves to the leadership, people who do their work so that they are noticed. These people do not always, are not people who are working towards the benefit of the organization. They are working towards personal benefit and personal development. They will do the work in the process, but ultimately they are looking for that position. Ultimately they are looking for that bonus. Ultimately they are looking for that recognition. And that is what is driving them.
So Bishop, if this kind of a follower in an organization, is the leader able to identify them, or it's hard to identify such kind of a follower, or I'm assuming a leader? Maybe they're in a lower level and this is what they're doing towards that. Is the overall leader able to identify?
Oh, yes. If you're a good leader, you should be able. Because one of the things that we train people in leadership is political skills. So that you're able to see that this person is playing politics. And we see it in Jesus. Mm. Jesus identified immediately that these people are playing politics.
Yes.
So what does Jesus answer? Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Mm. You know?
Yes.
In other words, are you able to pay the price?
Yes.
For this organization? You are looking for your own self and your own benefit.
Mm.
Are you able to also sacrifice for the organization? That's what Jesus is asking them.
Yes.
Because, in fact, he says, these positions are for people for whom they have been designated.
Mm.
In other words, it is not, they are not, they don't come easy.
Yeah.
It comes with sacrifice. So are you able to drink the cup? And when they said yes, then he said, yes, this cup you will drink.
Mm.
In other words, sacrifice for the organization. Positions are not just dished out
Mm-mm.
by coming in the into my office or waiting for me at the car park.
Yeah.
That's not how positions are got.
Yeah.
Positions are got are given to people Mm. who have sacrificed their lives for the work.
Yeah.
And so a good leader should be able to recognize that and to deal with it.
Mm.
Jesus did that. So he told them, this is, it's going to take sacrifice for you to be able to sit to the left or to the right.
Mm.
But that is the CEO who will determine,
yeah.
the chairman of the
mm-hmm.
board.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
because me, I'm the CEO. The yes. chairman of the board is the one who will determine that. Mm-hmm. God is the one who knows who will sit here, because this is designation.
Yes.
These are reserved seats.
Mm.
So you're not just going to get it by waiting for me at the car park and saying, by the way, boss, I had something.
Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about it for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you say, yeah, why not?
Mm.
No. So a good leader should be able to identify
Mm.
these kinds of people and deal with them.
Okay.
Yes.
One more before we proceed on. So let's assume I'm going ahead of myself or our conversation. So if this kind of a person gets into that position,
mm-hmm.
will they really be effective leaders?
That spirit and attitude carries on even if you're at the top.
Even if they get what they really wanted.
Yes. You see, now they wanted to sit on the left and the right.
Right. So they have sat.
They have sat on the left or the right.
Yeah.
The next is, I want to sit at the center.
Oh, my.
Of course, there's a center.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this ambition, and when they feel that they have exhausted that, they jump ship. They want to go to the next organization. These are the people who tell you, I reached the ceiling.
Oh, there is a glass ceiling.
There's a glass ceiling. I can't pass here. I feel I'm stagnating.
I have a lot.
I still have a lot to give, and I don't think I can give it in this organization. So they see the next place where they can sit on the left or right.
Mm.
Yeah. So they are never satisfied. They keep going to the next place and to the next place. Yeah.
I end there.
You end there. Yes.
Okay.
But Jesus, typical of him as a great leader, takes that opportunity to say something powerful about leadership.
Mm.
And he tells them, what you are asking for is what people ask for out there.
Mm.
You know?
Yes.
Those people who do leadership anyhowly, this is how they do things.
Mm-hmm.
Because out there is survival for the fittest.
True.
That's what Jesus is telling them. He says that he called them, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. In other words, they take advantage of their positions to oppress those who are below them.
Mm.
That's how it is done out there.
Yeah.
But good leadership is not about lording over others, being on the left or on the right. He says good leadership is about serving.
Serving.
Yeah. So you, and you can serve from any position.
True.
You can serve any position. And he goes to tell them, I am at the center of this thing, but I am a servant.
Mm.
Yeah. In this enterprise, I'm the CEO, I'm the boss.
Mm.
But if you look at me, I am a servant.
Mm.
Because even I did not come to look for a position. I came to serve.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus is saying. So he removes them from that positional, hierarchical structure to a place where everybody serves everybody. Leadership is about service. It is not about lording it over other people.
Mm.
It is not about the benefits that come with being at a higher level. It is, how can I serve the people that I have been put over?
Mm.
And this is so powerful because it is only people who have captured the ethos, the vision, the mission of an organization that can serve.
Yeah.
And such people don't care about hierarchy.
Mm.
They believe on why are we here, you know?
Yes.
And therefore, they want to deliver on that cause.
Mm.
And this is what brings me now to Peter.
Yes.
Peter is that kind of a leader.
Mm.
Peter is that kind of a character who buys into the cause. He is about the movement. He's about the organization. He's about where we are going.
Mm.
You see it in Peter. He bought into what Jesus was about.
Yes.
So that, why do I say that? There's another study series that I do on succession and transition management.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter ends up at the top, the place where
Peter,
James and John
wanted.
In fact, not where they wanted.
Yes.
He ends up at the center.
Oh, yeah, where Jesus
was. Them they wanted left or right.
Right, yes. Jesus was the one at the center, yes.
Jesus says, now you are the one who is going to do this.
Yeah.
How did Peter end up there? Peter ended up there by passing a very simple interview. Because Jesus comes up and talks to his disciples and says, who do people say that I am? A simple interview question.
Yes.
And that first question, almost all of them attempted, you know.
Mm.
Some are saying John, some the Baptist, some are saying Elijah, some are saying one of the prophets, you know, and so on and so forth. Mm. So each person is giving what they have heard other people
saying.
Then Jesus asks a second question. And out of the 11 guys, only Peter answers.
Mm.
So he asked, but who do you say that I am? The John wanted to sit on the left, on the right, has no answer. John has no answer. All the disciples have no answer. But Peter says, you are the Christ. So Peter is the one who has actually recognized what this movement is about.
Yes.
Yeah.
He knew the vision.
Knew the vision and mission. These people are in this organization, they're in this movement. They have no idea where this thing is going.
Mm.
And Jesus right there says, and upon this, you, Simon Peter, you are the rock.
Yeah.
And on this, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. I'll give you the keys.
Mm.
And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Right there, he gets the job
easy
that James and John wanted.
Want to see the leader in secret.
He gets in the presence of everybody else.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm.
It is in live television.
Yeah.
So none of them could dispute or argue over it.
Mm-mm.
When they heard of what James and John had done, they were angry.
Yes.
when they hear what Jesus has told Peter, no one is angry because it was plain. The question was to all of us.
Yes.
I didn't have that answer.
Yeah.
So Peter buys into the cause. He is the person who is thinking, where is this movement going? Where is this organization going? What is our vision and mission? What are we about? And it is very clear in his mind, this is what this thing is all about. So when Jesus asks, he says it.
Yeah.
Another time when he does, he says, where can we go? And you're the one who has life. You know? So Peter was very clear in what organization he's serving, what movement he's serving, and what it was about. So these are the kind of people in your team, in a leader's team, who have bought into the cause. They know what Hope Media is about, and they believe, I want to make a contribution into it. Peter, when the soldiers come, in fact, when Jesus says he's going to Jerusalem, while James and John are seeking the left and the right,
yes.
Peter tells Jesus, you are not going. That is
can't
not going
happen.
Over my dead body. You know?
Yes.
Because he sees if he goes there,
yes.
he might be killed and this movement is finished.
Dead.
You know?
Yeah.
It is finished.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens to the rest of us?
Mm.
And this is a great thing that we have been part of. So he seeks to prevent this from happening. And in my view, is a positive thing.
Yeah.
Is that he didn't know the broader picture. But he has bought into the organization, and he, if he sees anything that could derail, he's ready to say, even to the boss, let's not go there.
Very courageous.
Very courageous. Let's not get there.
Yeah.
Because this could derail us from what we are about.
When
in Gethsemane, when the soldiers come to arrest Jesus, Peter pulls his sword and is ready for war. Again, defending the organization against external aggression. So it gives you the picture of a person who is sold to the organization, who has, who believes in the cause, who believes in the vision and the mission, and is ready to do whatever it is to defend it and to make sure that we survive for tomorrow. So Peter is an amazing leader when it comes to that.
Yes.
But like we said, there's always a flip side. Yes.
You know, when you're talking about Peter, the positive, it sounds like this is the person I'd want in my
Of course. He is.
I'm wondering, does he even, I'm Googling my head, does he have a negative Let's talk about the flip side.
The flip side of Peter is that he's self-preserving. He would, when things really get bad, he would rather live than die.
At this point, can't die for the organization.
No. He still believes in the organization.
Yeah.
But self-preservation is key for him. So when he finds himself, therefore, in a place where, you know, Peter, the reason I say that he was a strong believer in the cause, he, as far as we know, he is the only person who followed Jesus to the trial. Even though he didn't go.
Hiding.
Yeah, hiding. But he wants to see what is happening. And if there was anything he could do, he would be willing to do. But when he's confronted with a risk to his own life, he says, no, no. I'm not willing to die. I want to live and see the salvation of the Lord in the land of the living. So he therefore, in that, denies that he actually is part of this organization. No, I'm not part of that organization. Yeah. So he denies. But even then, he is still committed. In his heart of hearts, he's still committed to the cause.
Mm.
So when the cock crows and Jesus had told him this is what would happen, he regrets it. He just feels so bad.
Mm.
How could I betray the cause? How could I betray the cause? So when finally Jesus rises up from the dead and empowers them and commissions them to go and be witnesses, to continue with the original mission and vision that he came for, Peter is at the forefront.
Yes.
So you see him in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. When people are asking, what is this about? He stands up and he says, this is what this is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Peter is very clear on the vision and mission again.
Yes.
And he can articulate it very clearly. When the Sanhedrin and the chief priests and the rest want to scatter them, they say, we are not going to be scattered. We are carrying this thing forward. Because now he has been empowered by Jesus. And now he's ready to die.
Yeah.
But that trait of self-preservation carries on with Peter. And unfortunately, from a human perspective, derailed his leadership. Because you find now, when it came to the Jews and the Gentiles, you find Peter again in this self-preservation thing. When he is with the Gentiles, he says, we are all Christians. But when he's with the Jews, he says, these people need to be circumcised.
No clear stand. Where are you?
Because he knows if he brings this, or he imagined that if he brings this whole thing of Gentiles joining the ministry, he could be in trouble with the leadership.
Yes.
And they could do harm to him.
Mm.
And so that thing of self-preservation, again, just kicks in for Peter very naturally, you know.
Yeah.
And that is the flip side of Peter's personality as a leader, as a follower.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, some have heard me say this, I believe that's where Paul was brought in. Because Paul is clear. Him, he believes in the cause, and he's ready to die for the cause. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So him, he doesn't care about all these things. So Paul takes the best of Peter. And the flip side of Peter, he is okay with it. So Paul becomes the de facto leader of the church because of that very clear vision, very clear commitment, ready to do anything, ready to die, which Peter didn't have.
I'm just thinking of a real practical example in an organization where a Peter would exist, and I'm looking at this is now the overall leader, is the CEO of this organization and has Peter traits of leadership. How would that look like?
The Peter trait is the kind of person who will fill the organization with these people.
Oh.
So you'll find that if he's coming from a particular region, those guys are...
Oh.
He's comfortable with these people. You're looking at me strangely.
I'm shocked. I'm wondering how that organization would work. Okay. So would
and there are many of them around.
Would pick relatives... Even if the organization is not his or hers,
yes,
like it's not my own company, it's not
Grace. It is an global organization.
Yes,
and by the way, we have such global organizations where at the local level, you go there and they can speak in their language.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they pick people. They pick staff members, team members, followers based on, must be from my tribe.
Or yeah.
A family member even?
Yes, sometimes family members.
Mm-hmm.
You have, I don't know whether you haven't seen, but there are NGOs, international global NGOs branches, where the wife, the children, the others are in the board or are in the staff team. And they are quite okay. They are happy.
Okay.
By the way, sometimes they don't see it.
Mm.
Yeah. because it is a trait that is within.
Mm.
Yeah. So Peter, in my view, would be that kind of a person.
Well, such organizations thrive, really. I'm assuming a scenario where there is a big mess or a conflict. So how do such leaders survive? How do such organizations survive?
That's why you need a Paul. So sometimes you need a Paul to come in and refocus the organization. Because remember, with Peter's kind of leadership, from where I sit, just again, I'm speaking very humanly here.
Yes.
I don't think that the movement would have gone globally.
With Peter.
With Peter.
At the helm.
Yes. He would have, it would have stayed in Jerusalem.
Mm.
But remember, the mandate was Jerusalem, Judea, yes, Samaria, uttermost part of the world.
Yes.
But with his kind of flip-flopping on the place of the Gentiles and the non-Jews, if he was had just problems with those people who are in Jerusalem already who are not Jews,
mm.
how much more problem would he have with people who are not Israel?
Mm.
But you see, for Paul, when he comes in, he gets this global perspective of the ministry. And he gives it, and he says, I became all things to all men. So whichever place he goes, he adapts to that place in their culture and fits in. Because his ultimate objective, the only permanent thing
mm.
is the mission.
Yes.
Everything else can be negotiated. Mm-hmm. But the mission, the gospel has to move forward.
Yeah.
So you find those kinds of people who then can take the organization further because they have bought into the mission, they have bought into the vision, and that is what they are pursuing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else can be negotiated.
Mm.
Yeah. So it is, if you have that kind of a leader, you can't go very far with the Peter syndrome. But if you have a Paul, before long, you are in the global networks.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. What if it's a follower? How can the overall leader help a follower who has the Peter syndrome? Because the organization needs to go. No, we need to go global.
Sit with them. And again, speaking human language,
yes.
Jesus tried to help Peter. You remember the trance?
Mm-hmm.
Where a sheet was lowered from heaven and brought to Peter, and he was told, rise up and eat. And he said, no, I don't eat those kinds of things.
He couldn't even recognize.
Yeah, he couldn't recognize. And Jesus is telling, don't call what I have made clean unclean. Okay. Because Jesus, Peter is still saying, I don't associate with the Gentiles. I don't eat these unclean things. But Jesus is saying, no, I have already cleansed it. Now it is okay.
Mm.
He doesn't get it. He's taken to Cornelius' house. And he sees the Holy Spirit come upon the Gentiles. And he's amazed that actually the Holy Spirit comes upon the Gentiles. But once he leaves there, he forgets.
Mm.
He's still stuck. So sometimes it's a blind, what we call a blind spot
yeah.
in leadership.
Mm.
Where you there's some things that are just hidden to you. You can't quite see them. But they're affecting your leadership.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
For Peter, it was this thing of Gentiles and self-preservation.
Okay. Wow. Thank you. Before we wrap it up, let's get to our question of the day segment right here on the Leadership Forum.
Question of the day on the Leadership Forum.
Thank you. Our question of the day today, Bishop, one of our listeners called Millicent is asking, I have a leadership question. The current turbulent times that requires a leader to be agile. How do you deal with hostility that arises when you change course as a leader and you are seeing the bigger picture, whereas your subordinates are still stuck in the vision you had sold to them and are rigid to change?
Mm, interesting. I'll use her word vision loosely. Because I normally say that there are only three permanent things that define an organization. First is the vision, then the mission. And these are not the statements.
Mm-mm.
We are not talking about the vision statement.
Mm-mm.
We are talking about the vision. because that's what gives birth to an organization, the mission. That's what gives birth to an organization, and then the core values. What drives us? Core values. So those three are what define an organization to do not change. Everything else, like I said, can be negotiated, can be changed. So when you talk about agility, it's about the how we do things. But we are still focused on our vision, we are still focused on our mission. So if you are a leader and your members are not willing to change how we do things, what do you do? We say that, number one, you have to recast the vision. Because vision is bought. Vision is not shared. Vision is sold and bought. So recast the vision, remind the people what we are about as an organization. And then bring in the current context. How could we meet our vision and mission within the current context? Because the context has changed. Seek their views. Seek their views. What do you think we could do in order for us to meet our vision and mission in this changing environment? And you'll be surprised. Maybe they have ideas. So when you gather all those ideas and then synthesize them, you may find that even what you wanted to share with them is included in their contribution. And since they have the ones who have brought it up, then you have synthesized, then you come back and I hear you people saying that this is the way we could go in order to meet our objectives, our vision, our mission within this current environment. There will be no objection because they participated in the decision making. Many times people reject what they have not participated in.
Mm.
So you may be very passionate. And of course, as a leader, you have given this thought. If you're a Christian, you are prayed over it.
Oh, yes.
You know, and God, and the Lord has spoken to you.
Yes.
And so you just want to come and get it going. That you will get resistance. Learn from Nehemiah.
Mm.
When Nehemiah wants to come and rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, these people have been in this place for a long time. How do you get them to work? So he comes and shares with them the vision, paints the bad picture of where they are and the good picture of what could be. By the time he's through and he puts a question to them, everybody say, let's rebuild.
Mm.
Let's rebuild. So sometimes people resist us because we have not made the vision clear. So recast the vision. Don't assume they know.
Okay.
And then paint the picture of the current environment and then solicit their views on what could be done for us to operate in this environment.
Okay. Public participation.
Public participation.
Followers participation in this case.
Member participation.
Member participation.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. You could pray for us before we say bye-bye. Just pray for leaders and followers who are listening to us.
Let's pray again. Lord, we thank you for the time that we have spent together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the insights and that you've given to us from the scriptures and from the people. Where we may have misunderstood, misinterpreted your word, we pray you forgive us. But that which is true, that which can be useful, I pray for our leaders who are listening, that, Lord, they will take it, implement it, and may your spirit help them to see great success. This is our prayer we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning into the Leadership Forum. Join us again on alternate Mondays for deeper insights on leadership.
The Leadership Forum.
Discussing leaders and followers.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.